Welcome to the Swirl and Sip podcast, where we keep it real, talking about womanhood, parenthood, and marriage. I'm your host, Sasha.
And I'm Sheree. And if this is your first time tuning into us, this is what you need to know about us. We're wives, we're boy moms, and we love wine, though we're not experts. This is Life Uncensored.
So get your wine glasses and your favorite bottle and get ready for today's episode. So, of course, we like to start each episode with what we are sipping on. And we do have a guest today. But before we get into our guest, we're going to talk about what we're drinking because it is one of my favorite type of wines. Y'all know that I love some red wine and we are drinking my favorite of red wines. We are drinking Jacob's Creek Classic Merlot.
Y'all knew that the white wine craze wasn't going to last with us.
I can't get it. And whatever one we were drinking last time was not good. I don't remember the Pinot.
The one that tasted like peaches?
Yeah. Oh, no. No, amazing. The pineapple. It had the pineapple in it.
Oh, the pineapple.
Yeah. No, that one I was not a fan of. So this one, the Jacob's Creek Merlot, it is, we'll start by saying it's Sasha and Sheree approved because It is 14%. And y'all know we love our alcohol content. But it has an intense blackberry with spice and leafy notes. I think that's the first time I've heard leaves in a wine.
You said leaf?
Leafy. Leafy oh, yeah, notes. No. Yeah. And then it says vanilla and sweet dark berry fruits with mocha oat and lovely silky tannins. How you feel about the tannins, Sheree? Because we know you don't like them.
It's not bad.
Because it's Merlot. Merlot's the best wine ever.
It makes my tongue feel a certain way, but it don't make me pucker my mouth up like, ugh. And I did have pasta before this, and I think I saw that this is
good. It says, enjoy with your favorite pasta or semi-hard cheeses. So you paired it nicely.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting good at this. I made a shrimp and asparagus Alfredo, you know, felt a little bit, you know, basic and bougie at the same time.
Well, it's also an Australian wine, so I don't know. I don't pay too much attention from where our wines come from, but we typically don't have, I don't think we've had a lot of Australian wines, so.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I just don't think.
Tape. That's all I look at.
True. I mean, but yeah. Because we've had an Italian wine. I think a lot of the wines we get are American, like they're California wines probably, but this one's from Australia, so. And it's Merlot, so I'm happy. Y'all know I'm not going to complain about a Merlot. But today we are talking about girls. We're talking about daughters. And I'm excited because Sheree and I don't have any. And we finally get to include all y'all moms out there who have daughters. So we are talking with Miss Alika. I'm sorry, with Miss Alika. I knew I was going to do that too. I knew I was going to do that. She has been working with children. She has a nonprofit that she started called Teen Dreams. She started it in 2014 with the sole purpose to enhance the lives of young women through teaching critical thinking, communication, and life skills. And she's a certified youth and family life coach. And she practices her practices solely on teen and tween girls and their moms. She feels that she can help teen and tween girls find healthy ways to cope with issues that arise in the years that shape their identity. And I just want to start by saying, well, first of all, welcome, but also that I feel for you because as we were talking before we started, I know what kind of teen girl I was.
Sasha is sitting there saying specifically, oh my gosh, you're an angel already.
So tell us how you got started and like, did you just have a bad relationship with your mother and therefore
you're just like, I can't take this, I'm going to change this no matter what.
It's so funny because it's the opposite. Like, me and my mom weren't, like, we've never had, like, the best relationship, but it's always been like, oh, yeah, I'm not doing teen girls. Like, I've always wanted to work with kids. And I was like, teenagers, no. I can't do the attitudes. I'm not doing it. But I worked with an organization my last year of college, and the lady over it was like, you got to sit down on one of my girl sessions. You got to sit in. And I was like, no, I'm good. I remember what I was like. I'm cool. You can miss me with this. But she finally convinced me to do it one night. And I sat in and just saw how the girls were opening up, expressing how they felt, like literally just being able to talk through everything they were going through. And I was like, yo, if I would have had a space like this growing up, me and my mama probably wouldn't have butted heads as much because I would have been able to like work through whatever I was dealing with. So I ended up having to move back home. And that's kind of what started me working with girls in my church to being in the community and working with girls.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Because I think, like, just teen girls have all of the hormones.
I love my teens. I told you.
I don't know how you do it. I really don't know how you do it. Because I was kind of the same way as Alika. I used to want to be a teacher. And I always said I would work with either, like, seniors in high school or in college. Like, they had to damn near be adults because I wasn't messing with anybody going through puberty. Like, it's just so much.
Yeah.
I started working with 11 through 15 boys. Then, and I was like, I've seen them curse out people and they're so honest. Like, I don't like you because you're ugly. And I was like, oh.
They're hurtful.
I heard them say that to someone and I was just like, I mean, I'm so glad you didn't say that to me, but damn. And so, but I love that honesty. That's
what, opening
up to Alika, like you said, they're open. If you show that you care, mm-hmm. they will open up. And that's why I love my teens, because they're honest and they also are not sophisticated liars yet. So that's why.
Correct.
That is very
they
true.
They think they are.
So I remember when I was a teenager, and my mom, I always say that my mom and I butted heads probably from the age I turned 13 until the day I went off to college. Like, because I thought I was on my grown woman shit. I was like, no, I'm a woman now. Like, I don't want to hear none of this. Like, we didn't have a bad relationship, but it was just, oh, like, if she told me to do something, like, there was always this constant just battle. And it was like, she would literally be downstairs, come upstairs and say, Sasha, could you go downstairs and get me something? And I would be like, you were literally just
what? Or what?
Like, you. And she would tell me all the time, like, this is why you have kids, so they could do things for you. And I'm just like,
true.
Now I know it's true. But at the time I was like, no. And I would say my mom and I had, pretty open relationship. I did talk to her about most things, but I know that it can be hard talking to your parents in general. And so I guess I wanted to ask you, why do you think that is? Why, especially between girls and their mothers, like, why is it so hard for girls to have open, honest communications? Because if anything, like, we're women,
it's the opposite.
Yeah, because we should. We've been there. We've literally been in their shoes, but they think we don't understand, which I know is what I thought. So.
Because times are different. Like, it's not the same. You're old now. You don't understand what I'm going through.
Everything is new.
Yeah, like, there's nothing the same. Which theoretically, like, it makes sense. Like, the times are different. Things have changed, especially for, let's just use my girls now. Like, they're so digital. Like, a lot of their parents didn't have that. So the times are different. And then a lot of times they want to figure stuff out for themselves. Like, yes, okay, you did such and such. I've heard you say it a million times, but, like, I have to see. So I think that kind of caused that divide. And then there's the issue of some of them are so similar that they're, like, they just can't. Like, we're saying the same thing, but it's just, it's not.
I definitely think that's me and my mother. Because I know what my dad, when he passed away, is when I realized that he was the buffer between my mother and I. So he would always... Like, if he saw that she was starting to annoy me, he would just kind of sneak in and be like, Carmen, just leave her alone for a little bit. Just relax. Just now there's no one there.
No, see, and for me, it's funny enough, my mother and me, apparently my dad, if you ask him, we'd be on some gang stuff because he'd just be like, so you say something to me, she say something to me. I can't say not something to you without her saying something. And we've apparently always been like that. But also I have a brother. So it was the exact same on their side. It was like we were literally split in the middle where, like, there would be a divide of us jumping on each other. And I did grow up knowing that my mother never forced a lot of conversations. Like, she, mm-hmm. I knew that she was there. Even thinking back to, like, our talk, the sex talk or whatever, it was really, like, chill and kind of like, this is what it is. Look, do it on your own terms, blah, blah, blah. It was real. Like, that's always been my mom. She's always mm-hmm. known that I knew what I was, you know, she knew what I was doing or not doing. And she knew what I knew. And she never questioned, or we just kind of skirted around the subject. And it was fine. It was fine. It was fine for me. I was okay with it.
So would you, do you say, do you think that's like the best way though, to just skirt around? Oh,
no, I mean, not the best.
Like, I'm just going to dabble in this topic just, right quick.
And... you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But I come from a home where, like, there were no conversations. There was nothing. Like, if we did have a conversation, it was a, hey, how was your day? It was good. That was it. Like, there was nothing. And I think that kind of really pushed, like, once I learned that I wanted to work with girls, that kind of drove me even more with talking to parents and be like, hey, you have to have conversations with your daughter. Like, deep level conversations, not just the surface stuff. Like, figure out who their friends are. Talk to them about sex. I'm not going to talk to them about sex because I don't know what you want to teach in your house. So you have that conversation. I will help you have that conversation, but I'm not going to have it for you.
Mm-hmm. So, but how do you, what do you tell moms who don't know how to start those conversations? Because I think, like, I look at my mother and she tried to be open with me because she didn't have that. Like, her parents was, they, you were a kid and we don't talk to you at in any sort of way that's gonna be meaningful because you're a child, and until you're an adult we don't have that conversations. And she tried to have, like, be better with me, but I mean, even with us having sons, I can imagine, like, it's still challenging to, like, talk to your kids in a meaningful way. So, like, how do you tell, what do you tell these moms, like, it are, like, good first steps to open up these conversations? Because I think especially to a teenager, like, we don't want to talk to our parents. Like,
I don't want to hear about sex from you because that means that
you've had sex.
Yep.
Ew.
Yep. So with conversations like that, I always say, like, don't start, like, with the big guns. Like, start small. Like, talk about their relationships. Be like, oh, are you dating? And then, like, build it from there. Especially if you don't have a relationship where y'all have talked before. If, like, for your listeners that have, like, little people, talk to them now while they're little. Like, they're paying attention to stuff like this so that when they get older as teenagers, they're not as, like, blocked off to talking to you because y'all have that relationship where y'all talk and have conversations.
Do you think it's better, though, and because Sheree and I think this is Sheree and I's difference in being raised. Do you think it's better for you to have, like, that friend relationship with
absolutely
your mother?
Not. Absolutely not. Mm-mm. Absolutely
because
not.
Because I think that's where moms have.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
You could just talk to your mother in any sort of way.
No.
Why I think. But, yes, you could.
It was not any sort of way. My mother always, like, my mother just had a long, and she was lenient. She was liberal with us, and we knew when we crossed the line. Because she would slap us back across it. So I knew not to go to that. Or at least I knew if I was crossing that line, I knew the consequences. Like, I knew I would say certain things and it's just like, bam. And I'm like, saw that one coming. I mean, was it worth
but
it?
I think it's a hard line to walk because you want to be open to your kid. Well, you want your kids to be able to feel like they could come to you. And the way that you do that is by trying to skirt this line of, like, where I'm your friend so you can tell me stuff, but only to a certain point because then I'm your mother again.
I was just thinking of that. The question that I had that goes into that is that say I'm big about safe spaces and I know you are too. Mm-hmm. And on that level, the question that I have is, what about, like, not even the people who are uncomfortable talking about, like, these big topics. What about when your views don't line up? And I really think about that as a counselor. I see a whole lot of students that whose parents are, like, their relationships are severed because of LGBT or other things that they're just like, I just don't understand it. And it's a phase. And, you know, and this, like, they just can't get it or they don't want to get it. So what that's a little different from, like, uncomfortable with talking with it. So what would you say in creating that safe space of, we might disagree, but I still want you to be able to talk to me?
See, the part with that is, like, that has to be on the parent. Like, I'm not putting that on the child, that's because that's not their responsibility. And you can't force that onto your parent. Like, and as a parent, you can't force your beliefs on your child because, again, it's going to sever the relationship. So that's something that's really tricky. And I thankfully haven't had to, like, deal with a situation like that because I honestly, like, don't even know what I would say. Like, because I can't tell the parent, hey, listen, you have to, like, I can tell you have to respect your child, but that's your house. At the end of the day, like, you're going to do what you want to do.
Well, because there are plenty of parents who will say, I don't have to respect my kids. Like, they're my kids. Like, they don't, until they're grown and paying bills and out this house, they don't get respect. Like, I'm their parent.
And that's a problem.
Yeah, no, I've literally heard had to talk with parents where, like, they're like, do you think that these, like, this relationship thing that they're going through, and mind you, if you they are, is because, like, they had a bad relationship with their father? I'm like, no, you can't really, like, that doesn't change who you love. That's not how it works. Like, I've had to do a lot of psychoeducation on that. But yeah, it's a very uncomfortable thing because, for me, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm the safe space. So talk how you feel. But then I'm like, okay, so parent, what you can't say is, I can't tell you not to say that, but
I don't think you should say
that. Can we think of a different way to say, not under my roof?
Right.
So I mean, no, that's really big.
What do you tell parents then, especially for, because I just feel like when daughters, and this, I was terrified to have a daughter. Because I knew what kind of, like, I used to sneak out the house, like, I had sex super early, and, like, I was like, the biggest fear, you know, your daughter's gonna come home knocked up because they hate you and they just want to get away from you.
What do you say to that? Because,
like, how do you make sure, not make sure, because of course your kid's gonna do what they want to do, but how do you hope,
foster?
Yeah, like, how do you, like, let them come explore to you life with those things so that they're not walking down this path of, like, extreme rebellion? Because I think that's what it is. Like, we're all, as teenagers, we're trying to find our way. Mm-hmm. And so we rebel against our parents. But I feel like if you have a certain level of a relationship with your parents, then you will only rebel up to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
Because you respect your parents.
Yep.
So, like, what do you say? Like, how do you coach moms through that?
It's really that relationship building. Like, you have to be willing to accept whatever they tell you. You may not like it, but you have to be willing to accept it and give them enough space to try different things out. I'm not saying tell them to go have sex. I'm not doing that. But like, explain to them the consequences if they do. Be like, hey, look, I know you are at this age now, you're exploring your options, but if you do this, this is the consequence. I'm going to love you whatever happens, but please know these are the consequences if this thing happens.
So you mean not telling your parent, your kids, that kissing causes you to be pregnant?
Yep. Let's not do that.
Let's not do that. Okay.
Let's not do that.
You know, the amount of things that you're just like, the fear tactic. So fear is not a good
thing. Fear does not work.
No.
Okay. No, it made me think of it. Yeah.
It only makes me more curious.
I have, so my mom, I feel bad for even saying this about her, because it is a little weird, but she, I think she actually had a good way of having me be able to talk to her. She essentially created this persona, I guess. She told me, like, if I wanted to come and talk to her and I didn't want to get in trouble and I wanted to just, like, if I did something or if there was something going on, like, I could talk to quote unquote friend. And that was literally what it was. And I wish I knew how she did this, because, like, looking at it now, it was like, you're talking to your mother. But I would come in into a room with her and I would say, I need to talk to friend. And then she would be like, okay. And then she would just, and I would tell her whatever it was. And then she would, like, she wouldn't get mad. She wouldn't, like, get upset or anything like that. She would try to give me advice or whatever it was. And then it would be like, well, that's just between me and you. Like, don't tell my mom. Like, it was kind of weird.
That sounds like the perfect balance. Like, like, that's it. Like,
I'm sitting there like, that is so cute.
Yeah, like, that sounds like the perfect balance.
Like, for her to say, that she did not get along with her mom and everything, but then she got mom friend. I'm like, what?
Right, like, oh, that's it. She didn't get along with mom, but she got along with friend. So there was, yeah.
Yes, I got along. Friend, let me tell, because I, like, when I lost my virginity and I had to tell my mom, like, that's what I did. I was like, I gotta talk to friend. And I could, and I was like, you know, I was a teenager at the time, and I could tell when I was talking to her that it, like, it was hard for her to remain composed while I was having this conversation with her. But I think she didn't want to
shut you down.
Yeah, she didn't want to like, you know, I've been telling you all this time, this is friend and you can tell friend anything. And, you know, I don't want to go back on that. So she was trying to maintain that while I was telling her something that probably just like broke her heart.
Man. That's
you
beautiful.
You need to cut your mom some slack. You never told me this. I would have been on your ass so hard. Like, oh, okay. Oh, yay. Okay.
Okay.
No, one of the things that you made me think of is how my mother talked to me about like relationships and stuff. And it was really the way that she did it is that my mother talked to me about like knowing just general stuff, like friends. She always wanted to meet. She knew all my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Always knew all my friends. And even to the point where we would get into a place of she knew who I liked and what I was like. And I'm like, I was always the person who could just come to her and like had no problem with, there was no barrier. And I don't know why that was. Like, I truly don't know, because it wasn't like she purposefully did it, but she, like, for example, it was about the rebellion thing. That's it. I never had anything to rebel against at all. Like, even when all my friends was getting like, you know, and Sasha knows I have no tattoos, right? Okay, here's the reason why. None. It wasn't because my mother put the fear of God in. It was exactly the opposite. At 15, turning 16, the whole big thing was, let's get tattoos and everything. All the parents, no, you can't get a tattoo till you're grown, till you're 21, till you're out my house, all that.
Your mom was like, let's go.
My mother literally said, don't get a boy's name, don't get anyone's name tattooed on you, and make sure there's something you want because it's on you for life. Go on and look up some tattoo parlors. I promise you, like, my friends' minds were blown because they were like, what?
Mine would have been.
I said, what?
My mom took me to get my belly button pierced.
No, that wasn't happening in my house.
No?
No.
But that's what I'm saying.
But I think it was for that reason. I think she was probably like, you're going to find a way to do this anyway.
She knew
and
you.
And so... Yeah, because that was also the way, like, I don't know if I've told this story before, but when I was in high school, because if y'all have listened, I was just fast. I was doing too much. It was
she
fast.
Is not fast. Uh-uh. We are not getting ready.
I had the same boyfriend.
She explored her.
But I was doing a lot. I was doing too much.
She explored her body and life.
I was doing too much. Hence my fear for having a daughter. But I was, my boyfriend at the time, and I were in a parking lot engaging in some behavior that you not should be doing in a parking lot.
You didn't tell me. I know this.
And we got pulled over, but we were parked. We got pulled over by a police officer. And said police officer was like, I'm not going to like take you to jail or give you a ticket or anything, but you have to call your mother and tell her what's going on.
Y'all could have gave me the ticket.
Jail.
Give me right. No, witness, sir. Go ahead, lock me up. No.
So I called my cousin, my older cousin, who did not answer. Because I literally was going to call her and be like, I need you to be my mom for 2 seconds. And like, she didn't answer. So I called my mother. I had to call my mom and tell her what was going on. So I called my mom. I'm like, I was giving head in the parking lot. I don't like, and so, and I'm like, so the police officer talks for a little bit. She lets us go. So I go home. My mom had been grocery shopping, so I got home before she did. She comes home and I'm helping her, and I just knew, I'm like, I'm gonna walk out and help her bring these groceries in, and I'm gonna get in so much trouble. And my mom literally is just like, why would you do it? Because we were in a park. We were at Iverson Mall, so we were in like a mall parking lot. She was,
you
like,
know, but hold on, Iverson Mall isn't even a mall. It's an open shopping.
Well, like, we were in a parking garage. So like,
girl.
And so my mom was like, next time you feel like doing that, go to like a cornfield. Like, don't do it in a mall parking lot. Like, what were you thinking?
And I was like, in the public.
And I think at that point was I had the most respect for my mother then, because she was just like, you're going to do this. So if you're going to do it, be smart about, like, don't get caught. Like, do it somewhere where nobody's gonna see you. Like,
you had a police calling me about you giving head,
right?
Get a hotel.
Because I imagine now, like, it was probably a very embarrassing phone call for her to get.
You know, See, that's the doing too much on another level. I need to know that detective had retired. What the why would you just, wait, sir?
Listen, it wouldn't have even been a conversation. You can lock me up. I'm not calling her.
No.
I'm not.
No. I would rather lie about why I'm in jail.
Exactly.
I'm about to strike.
Exactly.
What's going to happen? I'm going to hit you, and I'm in jail because I struck an officer.
Yep, exactly. That's what we're not going to do. No.
Man, you know what's really bad? Looking back at it, she didn't make my boyfriend have to call his parents. Like, it was just me. Like, I was the only one who had to call my mother.
Was it a girl?
It was a female officer.
Oh, she a bitch. I'm sorry.
She should have. No.
Oh, no. I definitely would have fought her.
Like, I would have had a lot of questions before I made that phone call.
I had the wonderful relationship with my mother, and I would have fought her. No, I'm not calling. No. So, like, that's the thing.
But how do you get mothers? Yeah, how do you get mothers to that point? Because I feel like my mom handled that situation way better.
I feel like Sasha is just revealing in this one that her mother, who she swears is the bane, sometimes the bane of her existence at times.
No, I love my mother.
No, I know you love her, but like, you know that you have, you say you have a difficult relationship with her, and I'm sitting here like,
my mother and I don't have a difficult relationship. I talk to my mother probably every day. But my mother, I always say I can only handle my mother in small doses. And I think that's just because my mother and I do butt heads a lot. And so, like, she has a, she's a Spanish mom. And if you know what being a Spanish, like, she repeats herself all the time. Like, she will give you, the way that Spanish mothers do is they will throw you a compliment, but then immediately take it back with a criticism about the same thing.
I've heard that. It's hilarious, though. I'm sorry. For me, it's absolutely the best. But no, that is a good point.
So, like, how do you, like, because I commend my mom. I hope I am like that with, like, if my son ever has to call me and tell me that some girl is blowing him off in a parking lot, like, I hope I can handle it in the same way.
Like, with that much grace.
Yeah. But it's just like being able to tell them, like, going back to that, hey, you may not like it, but that was their choice and you have to respect it. Like, getting them to understand that, which is a lot, and I mean a lot, of conversations with parents. Like, okay, yes, I understand you were raised this way, but times are changing. It's different. If you want your child to be comfortable with you, you're going to have to shift a little bit. Like, you're going to have to learn to accept their decisions, even though you don't like them. What does that look like? It looks like y'all having a conversation about what choice she made. That looks like you being able to say to her, I don't like it, I'll process it, and then we come back to the table and talk about it, if you need to take that minute. Like, it looks different for different families, but I really think that taking a minute to process it before you react is big for a lot of moms.
I think that's big for, like, people, because we don't, that's not our natural tendency, I don't think, is to, we immediately also respond to whatever is coming at us, and we don't take a moment to sit in whatever we just heard and really figure out how we feel about it, and then come from a place of, like, let me think about what I'm about to say.
And also, like, those building, like, it goes back to those building blocks of, like, teaching lessons. Like, what do you say? Does that include, like, teaching those lessons of, like, how do you, I think about what my parents shared with me. And funny enough, it was in college when I learned the most about my parents.
Yeah.
I turned 18 and it seemed like my parents just decided, oh, you're an adult. And I don't want to hear about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's all I'll call it. But, like, no, I remember my mother, like, sat me down at one point and she told me about all the drugs. Like, she actually, even when I was growing up, like, I remember 16, my friend's birthday party, someone spiked the punch, and I was telling her, oh yeah, because I was there, it was my best friend's, like, birthday party. So we were like, yeah, someone spiked the punch, and then, you know, someone started taking their clothes off. It was wild. And she said, I said, but I had a couple of those drinks and it wasn't bad for me. And she said, well, sweetie, you got my blood in you. My mom had a history of addiction, or more so, she was used to be an alcoholic and was not anymore. So she's like, oh, sweetie, you have my tolerance. Just know that you need to watch that, because it's not going to be the same for you versus your friends. And I said, huh? And she's like, no, I need you. She would even say, like, as we got older, going towards that college age, she was like, look, I don't want you to drink or, you know, do anything, but I do know that if you're going to, I would rather you do it in the safety of my home. So like, go bring your, you and your friends. If y'all want to know what alcohol tastes like in a drink, because some, you drink go to it. College and someone mm-hmm. pours something in your drink. And because you've never known, oh, this is some yep. wonderful punch, passed out. No, yep. My mother wanted me to be safe within the limits of even something that was like, she's not promoting underage drinking, yeah. but at the same time, she's like, I would rather you know than to mm-hmm. try and sneak around or else have been in a situation like that.
My mother put me on birth control because she knew I was doing stuff, and she was like, you know, I know that you're gonna do this. I'm not gonna be not realistic, and I think that's a lot that's of it too. Like, I'm mm-hmm. not gonna be not realistic and tell you not to have sex because. Clearly,
so
we're you're
not
going
pretend
to.
You not having sex.
Yeah, I'm not gonna just, you know, act like you're not doing this. So I'm gonna go put you on the pill, and then she would literally, and like we didn't tell my dad that I was on the pill because it would have broke his little heart. Oh. But it was like, here's your pills. You take this every day. Like, this is so you don't get pregnant. And like, she put me on the pill. I was 16 when she put me on the pill, and it was because she was realistic. She was like, yeah, this is what
you're
I know
like,
what you're
right,
gonna
so,
do.
So we're at this point. Okay, cool.
But how do you work with your girls though? Because I want to do from the other side. When you're working with your girls, how do you coach them or tell them how to have those difficult conversations with their parents? Because I think from just remembering when I was a teenager, we don't think our parents are going to understand. Like, mm-hmm. I thought I was going to die when I had to tell my mom that I was in a parking lot. Like, I just knew.
I would think you were going to die because of cop. Was involved. Like, at the point when a cop was involved in my life, I'm pretty sure that death, I'm like, no.
Yeah, it's
no.
right there.
But on that point, though, that is a very good question.
So a lot of times they really want to talk to their moms about stuff, but they just don't know how. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I like to do is like, okay, tell me what you want to say. Like, don't clean it up. Just tell me what you want to say, and I'll help you reframe it. So, like, I had one girl that was really upset. She was like, I want to spend time with my boyfriend, but my mom won't let me. I was like, okay, just say it all out and we'll work through it together. Like, we will process how you can tell your mom without screaming, crying, all the extra stuff. So she'll understand you and be able to get your points. But then the same token, the mom called me the next day and was like, such and such said, da, 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 da. I don't know how I feel about it. Breathe. Let's talk mm-hmm. through this. Why don't, because when I was her age, exactly. So you have to let her make her choices. She's mm-hmm. not you. Yeah. Y'all can have this conversation about why you feel the way you feel. Without you screaming at her and her screaming at you.
Yeah, I think that's super important. I think we try to, as parents, our natural inclination is to protect our children from making the decisions that we did.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. the bad decisions that we did. We don't want, like, why do you need to go through this when I already went through
mm-hmm.
it? You saw, like, if I think a teen pregnancy is the biggest one that comes to head. It's like, you saw me, like, on the struggle, and I want better for you, and why would you do? And it's like, they forget that how they got to that point was mm-hmm. the teen themselves. And it's not like, you know, you don't go into it being like, well, actually, I do know a few people who have gone into it like, I'm going to be a teen mom. I do know that.
Yeah, I think that's a new thing. I think that's
so new considering the age of the person I'm thinking of. But no, yes, you're right. There are some people who just are like, nah, I'm gonna do what I want to do. And then it's mm-hmm. like, you forget that, nah, feelings involve, mistakes happen. And it's like, okay, but the end of the world, is it the end? But did you die? Is my favorite phrase.
There you go.
But did you die?
Right. There you go.
I feel like I wish I could say that to some parents, but I don't think that would
honestly, it's probably not a good idea.
It's probably not a good idea, but it would get the point across. But okay. Okay, so I told you that.
It's just hard for I think especially this is why my biggest fear was having a daughter. Like, I'm happy that I had a son because I was doing some dumb shit. And if I would have had a daughter, I was like, how do I tell my daughter, don't do this when I was doing these things? Like, I can't, like, for me, I would have been like, how do I tell my daughter, don't go out and start having sex at 15 years old when I was I was in sex, it wasn't even like I just started at 15, like I was going to town by the time I was 15. So it's like, how do I, like, And because it's also hard for me in general to just like lie. So I feel like I wouldn't be able to have a good poker face with my kid. Like, I wouldn't be able to be like, oh, like,
you
I waited until.
Yeah, tell
you
her.
You don't have to lie.
I say tell her.
I'd appreciate it because my mother was like, oh, I only had sex one time. I hated it, and then I didn't have sex until I met your father, and then after we were married, and that was it. And I grew up believing that for a long time, and then I thought about it, and I was like, that's not true. You was definitely having sex.
My mom till this day will tell us that Jesus got her pregnant. Me and my brother are both grown at this point, and Jesus got her pregnant, and I'm okay with it, to be honest. Like, great.
I tell myself that personally, I was wished upon and I was born.
I've gotten that one too.
Even though I have an older brother and I have a child, I was wished upon and I appeared. That's how it happened. There was no sex. There was no nothing that happened. What?
See, I don't think I could, like, of course I would never, I'm never going to tell Stokely, like, yo, your mom was out here in these streets. Like, I'm not going
to. No. You cannot want to live the MILF life. Hold on, Sasha. You cannot want to live the MILF life and leave out the F.
No, so I'm not, I'm not going to tell them, like. Like, I wouldn't be able to I'm not going to dive deep into it, but I also, like, I don't think I would be able to tell him, like, you can't do these things when I know what your father and I were doing at 16 years old. Like, I know what we were doing on my mother-in-law's couch when we were in high school. So I know when you have a girl over, what you going to be doing. And I can't really be like, don't do that, because, like, I was doing that. Like,
but why do you feel like, this is the thing, I don't feel like you can't tell them don't do it. I feel right. like you can tell them don't do it with the understanding of, like, let me tell you why I say don't do it. Not because I haven't done
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I feel like I would exactly. probably be like, I would probably come to the conversation like, if you're going to do this because I think
that's
you are, then mm-hmm. then
that's
do it
way.
This
that's
way. Because I don't think I could say don't do something like having sex that is not really dangerous per se. Like, I'm don't do like dangerous shit. Like, I'm not gonna tell you to be like
please don't drag race.
Yeah, like don't do that. Like, you ain't walking around with no gun or nothing like that. Like that, I have very hard lines on what don't do. But like yeah. stuff like that normal teenagers do, I don't think I could be like, don't do that.
Like, don't do drugs. Yeah. You know, look.
Well, that was like, no, it depends on the kind.
No, it's yeah, always.
Exactly. I'm like, it's levels to it. Like, what's your drug? Like, are we talking about hard drugs?
Like, yeah, because no. then let's not.
Like, please, like, don't be at a party.
I imagine by the time
be like, all right, I'm gonna try to hold on, sir.
By the time our kids are grown, I'm gonna assume weed is legal. So. Smoke, but like, don't do the like anything you gotta do with a needle or warm
yeah,
up
no,
or
does not do that.
Alcohol, weed. All right, cool.
Anything above that,
what you mean?
We gotta talk because I have questions as to why.
But see, that's the thing. I think that why? I would tell my kids anything that you wouldn't live a second thought, like anything that deserves a second look or a stare at a party. Like, think about it being at a party for real. Think about being at a party and it's like you got liquor, everyone got their drink, someone's lighting up, and then you see someone breaking down like some coke. Hold on, what are you doing?
Yeah, like you got a double take.
Someone,
y'all see him? Y'all see this?
Or you see someone lighting up a spoon and you're like, wait.
What are you doing?
Anything that involves more than just rolling a paper, I need you to stop and contemplate where you're going with that.
Twist open. Look, that's all. Like, that's how I would say it. I'm like, look, okay, fine. There's certain things that you can do. But no, that is another thing that a lot of people think of, because they say, because I did this, I can't tell you not to do it. Mm-hmm. But they don't want them to. So that is the hard thing about,
like, I want you to be things. I want, if you're going to do those things, I want you to be smart about it. Like, I want you to be safe while you're doing it.
I want you to be informed. Let me say that. I like the word informed, because it's like, okay, as long as you understand what you're doing and it's not just because everyone's doing it.
Yeah. That's the conversation I have about weed a lot.
Pretty much. I'm like, okay.
I want to smoke for what? Why? Why do you want to smoke?
I've never smoked, so.
It's never been a thing for me. I just don't. For me, I pick my vice, okay?
but you have.
Yeah, I have, and yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Literally, it's been something that I'm like, I don't like this. And I've tried a few times with the, you know, and I'm like, I don't like this. Yeah. Every time.
I've never actually smoked before because I've never had the desire to do it. And like, thankfully, peer pressure didn't like work on me.
And see, my peer pressure was different. It's funny. The girl that used to babysit me went to the same school I did. So we're about 8 years different.
I was like, hold on, so you was different. She was a senior, you was a freshman? Like,
no, it was like 8 years different. So like, she had graduated already when I was a freshman in college. Yeah, there's a that's a good.
It was a nice age difference, okay. Yeah.
And so I would hang out with her and her older friends, and she was an avid smoker. And so like when I first got to college, she was like, hey, I want you to hit this because I need you to know what it's supposed to taste like and if anything happens. And I was like, I don't want to. She was like, I really feel like you should, just because I don't want you to be in a situation. So then
she's
I did
like,
it that
she was like Sheree's mother.
Yeah. See, I am always for, like, it's always a reason behind it. Not just because, yeah, hey, because everyone's doing it, man. Mm. No. Because I don't want you to mess around. Next thing you know, you in a chicken coop. No.
Exactly. No, it's like
not a chicken coop, though.
I mean, it happens.
I don't know what smoking does to you. If you end up, see, that's why I would know. I don't want to be altered of in that type of state where I end up in chicken coops. Like,
something's wrong with it if you end up in a chicken coop. Let's just.
I mean, Friday is one of my favorite movies. That's the reason why I always think I'm like.
Mm. So I guess, like, just to kind of close out like the episode, if you had to give one solid piece of advice to moms who are entering into the thick of tween teen years, what would you say to them about how to like just continue or try to start building that relationship with their daughter so that when the hormones start raging and emotions are flying and all the things that happen when you're a teenage girl, like they feel comfortable enough, like you, they are their safe space. Like what would you say?
Let them know you're there. Like it doesn't have to be a long drawn out conversation. It can just be as simple as, hey, I know you're going through some things because you're getting older and you've got a lot on your plate right now. If you ever feel like you want to talk about it, I'm here. So just let them know that you're there. So they know that they have that space. Mm.
And do you think it's like, I'm going to keep letting you know I'm here, even if you never say anything to me? Like, I know that you don't want to talk to me, but I'm going to keep, like, I'm here if you want to talk. And then hopefully at some point they'll decide. They keep saying they're there. So let's try.
Or even if you, like, build on that, I'm here. Just like start talking about your experiences. Be like, hey, I don't know if you're going through this, but I did this.
Like, you notice, so like, you notice, like, if you find out that your child lied about something, trying to be like, all right, hey, look, you might like think about why you lied, and you're like, do you think you were scared that it would disappoint me to know that you did this?
Well, because I think that is the biggest fear. Yeah. I think as kids, we're afraid that we're going to disappoint our parents. Yeah. And it's, we don't even worry so much about the anger because any kid will tell you, and even any adult will tell you, I'd rather you be mad at me than be disappointed in me. Oh, because that hurts. Like that, I've let you down. Like,
my mother told me she was disappointed at me twice in my life, and I promise you,
it broke you.
One time in high school, and I was just like, okay, cool. One time in college, and I promise you, I bawled both times.
At college.
Never again. Yeah. I cannot have this feeling.
So where can people find out more about your teen dreams, or where are you at online? What's all your good information?
So everything is Teen Dreams, Inc. The website is teendreamsinc.org. And then my coaching, because that's a little bit separate, that's Miss Alika and MissAlika.com.
MissAlika.com. Okay. So thank you. We want to thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you.
I know.
Thank
I appreciate
you for having
you.
Me.
I appreciate you listening to my rough teenage years, because
she wasn't that bad. I mean, she turned out to be bad. Great.
That was, and I said this during our sex episode, and I'll reiterate it again. All of my sex things happened with one boyfriend at a time. Like, it wasn't like I was just out here.
And I made up for all my fun stuff in college, and it was not with a boyfriend. So I avoided that title like the plague. What? No. We're friends.
And then you married Cyrus. So it all worked out. So
exactly.
Well, we do want to thank you so much for being on the show, because we don't get a chance to talk about daughters or to moms of daughters, because we just don't live that life. And I just want to say to all of the moms out there who are raising little girls, I personally feel for you. Good luck.
I hope
you have
just for the hair for me. I'm sorry.
That's it for me.
The hair.
That's it for me. Yes.
I didn't care about the attitude. We'll fight.
Well, I have that. Stokely has hair. So
I mean, so does Brendan, but I mean at the same time, I can cut it and I'll be like
at any point.
That's cool. You go ahead, and we still live in societal norms where if you cut your girl's hair to a buzz cut, they're gonna be like, "What you doing?"
Very true. Very true. But well, thank you very much for being on the show. As always, we would love to hear what you all think. If you are out here living the struggle life with your daughter and you are entering them years, like, we want to hear about it. Let us know.
Yes.
Like,
if you got through it, tell us how.
Yes.
How did what? Because what tech did you act as a friend? Were you a quote unquote friend for your daughter, so that way you could be their safe
space? Skirt around the issue and just hope they got it.
Let us know. We are sure that there is going to be an IG conversation happening. You can find us on Instagram at Swirl and Sip Podcast. You can always email us. We're at hello@swirlandsippodcast.com. Online, of course, the swirlandsippodcast.com. Make sure if you like the show that you rate, review, and subscribe. We are available on all major podcast platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora. Alexa will play us if you ask her to. But the most important thing is to make sure that you rate and review us, because that is how other people that is how other people find the show, and we would appreciate it so much. Thank you again to Alika for being on the show, and make sure that you have your wine glasses ready for next week's episode.
Bye
bye.